This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Storyworth. Thank you, Storyworth, for making our show possible. How you doing?
Hi, Dee. How are you?
That's how I am. I'm fatigued. I'm emotionally and mentally drained in a way that I am trying to just be okay with.
I get you.
You know when you can't think?
I do. And you know what's making me drained and not able to think right this second is the freaking construction outside my dang window that's been going on all day. Don't they know I record a podcast? Don't they know that?
And don't they know that Manhattan, the island, is only 2.2 miles by some other amount of distance? And there are lots of people that live there. So when they do construction, I feel like they don't care about y'all. New York City
really
doesn't care about y'all.
They really don't.
They really don't.
But I mean, that's the life. That's the life I signed up for, I guess.
You know what? I went walking around my neighborhood today because I have to for my...
You walk in your suburban neighborhood? Nobody walks.
Oh my gosh, I do. Lots of people walk. So I'm walking because my mental health needs it. I need to be outside. I can't do any other exercise because of the chronic pain crap, blah, blah, blah. So I just went walking. The sky was blue. The clouds were perfect. The trees have that early spring baby green color. And I'm just walking, and that's what matters. Those moments incorporate my kid, friends, wife, of course. And that's perfect. And I have to have more of those moments because...
I agree. Especially right now. Yeah. And we wanted to talk a little bit about this because it's kind of a good segue into our episode. Because times are tough, man. Times Are Tough is a lot. Well, shit, Roe v. Wade, right? And freaking a shooting.
Yeah.
Another
mass shooting.
Mass shooting of black souls.
Yeah.
And this pandemic. And you were saying it earlier, E. What were you saying? That there's just like
a heaviness in the air. So Mercury is also in retrograde. The only...
Ooh, I felt that yesterday.
Only reason I know this is because my mother keeps me abreast of everything astrological. So she is the go-to. And I always get these texts like, we can't talk for a week. Mercury's in retrograde because we're both Cancers a day apart.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to stay away. But so, yeah, there's a heaviness in the air and a like an energetic fatigue. Aren't you tired?
I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking it's because I have too many jobs and too many Google Docs and too many things to do and children. But maybe it's really because of Mercury being in retrograde.
Right now, the world is upside down. I mean, yeah, there's still a war on the planet. Yeah, there's still global warming. And in Jersey, we can't have plastic shopping bags. Now, I know in the grand scheme of shit, that don't seem to matter. But if you don't have a shopping...
It's bad for the environment.
I agree. I know, but who's going to...
It's the same in New York, actually.
Oh, you guys did it too?
Mm-hmm. And I never have a bag with me. I never have a bag. And I am always carrying like 20 items in my arms.
Okay. This is my satchel. I do not wear a purse. It's called a merce. It's a satchel or something. I got to show you. Look.
Oh, my God.
I have a recycle bag hidden.
Okay, good for you. I really want to get to our guest because this whole discussion of mental health kind of ties into our guest. Before we get to our guest, though, we do have to say a special thank you to our newest Patreon members. There it is. You guys are really stepping up and, like, supporting, and it means the freaking world. So without further ado, we have to say a huge thank you to Emily.
Emily, thank you.
Emily,
muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias, Emily. I don't have your last name, so it's just Emily. And also who? Go ahead.
Rowan. I'm going to say this is Rowan Akuf.
Rowan Akuf. I think that's a good... I think that could
yes.
be... It could be Roan Aka.
Oh, it could be Roan, but wouldn't Roan be R-O-A-N-E?
I don't know. But thank you, Rowan.
Thank you.
It's a cool name either way.
It is.
Either way you say it, I think it's super cool. And thank you, thank you, thank you. It means the world.
It does.
Also, if you out there want to help us make this content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community at any time, and you'll do just that. You'll help us put these episodes out into the world. You're going to get bonus content when you do that, too.
Bonus.
What kind of bonus content do they get, E?
Well, at the gestational carrier level, you'll get video interviews on most episodes dropped a day early.
So you get to be in the know early. Who doesn't want that?
Head on over to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
do it
you.
Now.
Do that now. Okay, let's talk about Jill and Marco. Now, this is that age-old queer family story of the human doing the traditional marriage thing, having a couple of kids, and realizing, as you do, that they also have same-sex attraction. You know, that standard stuff, right?
Yeah. And not only did she struggle with finding that side of herself, she struggled with postpartum mood disorder and other mental health challenges that I completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been working through it. I'm really proud of her. She's proud of herself. And she was open and vulnerable to talk to us about it.
Yeah, she's still working through stuff. And she wanted to come on and talk about that stuff because she thinks and we think that it will resonate with a lot of you at home. And it resonated with us, too. So I think that's enough. I think that's enough of an intro. And I think we need to just get to it. Because otherwise, we're going to tell you the whole episode. And then what's the point at all?
Let Jill and Marco do the talking.
Roll that tape, Helen.
Eggs. Don't we do the eggs?
No, that's at the outro.
Oh, shit. No eggs.
Hi, Jill. Hi, Marco.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It is so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. We're a pleasure to be here.
Tell everybody where you're zooming in from.
We are here from Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
It's my favorite name of a town ever, I think.
Oshkosh.
Oshkosh, by gosh.
So let's let everyone at home know who you are. Let's do your elevator pitch. You know all about it because you guys are avid listeners.
Can I do the countdown?
Yes. He's going to count you down. I'm going to put this cute little timer up, but don't get discouraged because you know we will never cut you off.
It's true. They don't cut people off.
Uno, dos, tres, acciones.
Hi, I'm Jill.
And I'm Marca.
And it all began with a traditional marriage to a supportive man, to being a struggling stay-at-home mom, of two children, the postpartum mood disorder, to the forced realization of my queerness, to the fight against societal norms of family. This is my story, and this is how we make it work.
That was good. Holy shit.
Not only were you like way on time, got all of your equipment set right. up, but now you want to come and drop that fire. That was amazing.
We're trying to take jobs here, I guess.
You are, because I'm going to let you know, that was a mic drop elevator pitch, because here's the thing. I have guests in on other podcasts, and they're like, we usually, you know, say what our guest's bio is, and we read a whole thing, but, you know, since you do that elevator pitch, why don't you do one for you? And every time I have to do an elevator pitch, I feel so bad for all the guests we have made to do that, because that is hard. And that was good. You wrote that down, and that could be the intro to your book. Not gonna lie.
I told her to write a book.
Yeah, definitely.
There was a lot in there.
Yeah, hopefully there's something you can grab from that. That's the kind of things I hope that we could, you know, talk about whatever direction absolutely. Y'all want to go in. We're comfortable with that.
Where did it all start? Take us back, way back to the beginning.
The beginning.
No, you don't have to start from the beginning. But yeah. I mean, how did you guys meet?
Well, did Marco and I meet?
Well, Tinder, of course.
Yeah, you know, I swiped right. I swiped right.
But I want to take it to, because the very first sentence, I think, in your elevator pitch was something about a very supportive husband.
That's true.
You had great adjectives for every single sentence. Supportive husband, forced realization of your queerness.
Yeah.
There was a lot there, right? So why don't we start with your supportive husband and where that started.
Yeah, of course, my supportive now ex-husband.
Right.
Well, we were high school sweethearts. We went to the homecoming dance together. I never had a boyfriend or anything. I always wanted a partner to be with somebody. Of course, connection, pretty normal human. And at 20 years old, we were married. Wow. I just felt that, you know, at that time, that's where I needed to be. And I mean, I had nothing but, you know, love for him. And
did you have any like queer sensations? I don't know if that's the right way to say it. Yeah. Did you have any like queer rumblings before?
I mean, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Right.
Had you had feelings about girls before, you know, or just
maybe not until I was like a freshman in college. I had noticed that I had an attraction to women, that I had crushes on women. But because I was in a committed relationship and the definition of monogamy for myself was to be devoted to that person, I completely ignored those things. And I have a lot of feelings about the regret that I didn't make that realization when I was, you know, an 18-year-old person in college where I could have explored those feelings and led me sooner to where I needed to be.
Yeah, but we all
blame society. Yeah, don't, you know, blame yourself.
Yeah, blaming yourself.
We get there when we get there, you know, and some of us take a longer time.
All the
time.
Shoulds that are made throughout society. So.
Yeah, exactly. So many shoulds.
That's hard. Yeah.
So you said at age 20, you just felt like getting married was
that's
thing.
What you do.
Yeah, the should.
That's what you do. Yeah. I got married and I moved across the country to attend school out of state. I don't know. It was a norm.
Yeah.
A woman marries a man.
Right.
There that's was what no, you should do. Right.
Yeah. Did you have any examples of queer folks in your life at all?
Yes. My dad is a trans woman. You know, I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, really small, you know, a town about 12,000 people. I didn't know what a trans woman was when I was a teenager, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't something, you know, that was talked about then.
Right. So
too many questions. So dad, was dad post you and your realization about who you are or prior? Like, this is a journey.
So my dad came out to me when I was like 16 years old. I can remember the specific conversation we had in the living room when she was drunk one night. And yes, I still refer to her as dad. But I was always okay for everybody else. And I always felt this deep connection with the LGBTQ community. I joined all the groups in college, like the Gay Straight Alliance. I'm an ally. To the Pride event. So it's so progressive that they had this in Tennessee where I lived. I went to the first Pride event in this little town. And I didn't realize that connection didn't come from my dad. It came from myself. But, you know, it's just interesting. I felt like just really just like drawn toward that group for whatever reason, you know, which I know now.
Yeah. But also, I mean, if your dad came out as trans when you were a teenager, then that's also a connection. So,
yeah, of course.
And I think you just said that everybody was fine with your dad coming out or no?
Oh, no.
No. That didn't go
Oh, was he with your mom at the time?
Yeah, they're divorced. My mom does not understand the complexity of that struggle. Maybe about their personal experiences, not the mental health vision. Lots of talks
with the family perspective of her, Jill's life.
Yeah, a lot of support that doesn't come from my dad. Right. For me as a queer woman, unfortunately,
it's weird.
You know, maybe she doesn't want that from me. They loved my husband, you know, he's a good guy. He is. And we do live with him still.
We do.
Right. We're going to get to that. House,
so yeah, I mean, you know, he's a good guy.
We're going to get to that. But so your dad came out as trans. Your mother didn't accept it.
Of course. Yes.
You were okay with it.
I was okay with it. It never was a thought in my head. It was just like, you're my dad. I love you. And I just remember her crying because she was so scared.
Oh.
That like immense fear because my dad believed she was the only person in the world that was trans.
Yeah.
Because it was just about the time when we just got the internet. She had no idea that.
What? Yeah, but different world, right?
World. It's hard to like process all that. Like to be thinking you're the only one like that and how isolating and desperate and, you know, frightening that would be.
I'm listening to your fluidity with your pronouns and I'm in awe. Because I'm still working on referencing my own pronouns, like and making sure that I say they, them, and not she, as I've been doing for the past, you know, long time.
It takes time.
To hear you, it sounds like it's just rolling right off your tongue so easily. And did that take time to be able to say my dad, she?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think it's fun now because it turns people's heads, right? My dad, did they say dad? They must have meant mom. Right. But yeah, I mean, it was uncomfortable and awkward. And I mean, I felt a whole lot of feelings about it, but it just never was like, wasn't really a huge issue. You know, I want people that I love to be happy and whatever that takes.
And that should be everyone's goal. The end. Right? Right there.
Should.
So you married your high school sweetheart and had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did we get from we're married, we have two humans that we made. And what happens after? Was there a moment? Was there like, what was your aha, I'm gay moment? I'm queer. I'm LGBTQ plus.
Well, you see, in 2017, I had my second child, my son, and that was when I began struggling with my postpartum mood disorder, which I still am actually in a partial hospitalization day treatment program for currently, depression, anxiety. I think it's important to talk about.
Yeah, what is it? Explain it a little bit for us and the listeners.
I was diagnosed with postpartum depression, anxiety, and obsessive compulsive disorder. So that hit me like a ton of bricks after I had my second child and I was non-functioning and I spent most of my days being suicidal, which I still struggle with currently.
Oh, man.
So it's really common. The statistics are pretty astounding that how many women and men and families are impacted by postpartum mood disorders. You know, through so much therapy, I had luckily in my small town in Wisconsin that I lived in before I moved here. I had stumbled across a good therapist and learned some good skills. And that's when I realized it was okay to open my mind to being myself. And I started getting intrusive thoughts obsessively about being with women. And they would not go away. And I couldn't stop thinking about women all day. And I was like, this is so, this is weird. Like, I love my husband. Why am I keep thinking about every person that walks by? That looks like they could be female. So yeah, it was so strange. I can't describe, you can't make this stuff up. So
no, you cannot.
Right.
No,
so cannot. Maybe y'all, you can relate a little bit.
Yeah,
I think I think that all of us on some level can relate to that. All of us queer folks, because there comes a point when it's like, I just can't turn this off. I can't turn this off. Like, it won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
I am attracted to that right now, and it's not letting me go, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure you all tried to fight against it. I mean, I'm married. Mm-hmm. I'm checked all the boxes.
Right.
The funniest story I thought was, you know, she asked her mom, Mom, do you ever like women, you know, like the way, like, you want to kiss them? Her mom's like, no. You know, she's like, this is not normal.
Yeah, never mind.
Never mind. Me either.
No, I was asking for my friend. You don't know them.
Yeah.
But all this time, you are in therapy and you're getting help because you are going through something really, really tumultuous, regardless of the sexuality thing.
it's terrible. It's been 5 years that I haven't had a day where I didn't think about dying or wanting to die. I've had some recent breakthroughs with my current therapy day program. I was forced to like stop working and stop what I'm doing because we really have to take care of our mental health. Otherwise, like we don't have anything. And physical health becomes irrelevant. We have nothing. Like I had all these sweet moments with my babies and then anxiety stole it and it ripped that away from me. And all I could think about was if I was going to hurt myself or my children or what, you know, those moments were just panic. I wasn't there and I still get lost in them. Even now I lose myself. And it's nice when I have these moments now where it's been a couple of weeks and I just can hear quiet. I just wanted to make sure that people know that it can get better because, you know, suicide's preventable and like it gets better. I'm saying this because I live in it. Like every day I live in it. And I promise you that if you just like try to get access to the right therapies and don't give up, that you there is like the hope. It's not just a cliche, the It's Get Better campaign, you know, like that kind of stuff. It's not a lie. Like I really thought it was, but it's really not. So if somebody, you know, can resonate with that, then I would have purpose in my existence.
I am so glad you said that. I was going to ask you. That's what I was going to ask, if there's anybody at home struggling with something like this, because this happens to, like you said, so many more of us than we even know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I suffered from postpartum that was never diagnosed. It didn't get nearly as bad as you, Jill, but it was, I had some crazy anxiety every single day. I thought my son was going to die. Every single day, I would see his death in my head over and over.
That's the, this is
how it's going to happen. Yes. This is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. Like
it was horrible. Yeah.
But I never, you know, the questions they ask you at the doctor's visit after you give birth, you know, they have like these questions they ask and you answer a questionnaire. And do you think about suicide? No, I don't think about suicide. Like all of the questions were a no. All of the questions were a no. But
yes,
that
mine
still
were as well. Yes.
Exactly. It doesn't
They don't ask right questions.
Mm-mm. And I didn't realize that I was even suffering from that. And my wife would be like,
no,
you need to chill a little bit. Like that's,
you don't,
One chapter in a baby book doesn't tell you anything about
possibly. No. Yeah, and suicidal ideation is something that I learned about when I got a similar diagnosis in, you know, the OCD, anxiety, depression, and PTSD. And what I've learned is it looks different on everybody, number one, and it's a life of managing it. And so I take my meds and I do my work with the, you know, the doctors and the groups. And then sometimes life happens and throws you a curveball and you're like, ooh, I still have this stuff to manage. So I do, I think it's super important because it's all peoples, all places that deal with this. And especially with the stressors of our type families, man, listen, that's just, it's a lot on us already. Yes. Just, you know, in
especially
general.
Jill, with what you're dealing with in that moment, you're also coming to terms with your sexuality.
That's heavy.
It wasn't great timing, you know?
Not at all.
I was like, I mean, my family, I moved from Tennessee to Wisconsin. Once I had gotten pregnant, I graduated college in 2014 and immediately gotten pregnant and then decided I wasn't going to do anything with that degree. And I moved back from Tennessee to Wisconsin because I heard that there was going to be this village that was going to help me, but they didn't show up.
A village? What do you mean? A village?
With my kids, you know, it takes a village. But in the absence of the village, this is what you get is this, like, alone. You know, so they didn't show up.
That's the other thing they don't talk about. That saying, it takes a village. You have to create the freaking village.
No, yeah, they didn't tell you that you're going to make the village.
No, in our society nowadays, now there are some folks who have it built in and it's lovely and it's and it really works out. But for most of us, no. You don't have a village to start with. You have to come to terms with the fact that you need help. Then you have to come to terms with the fact that you need to create that entire village of folks. And in our community, it usually turns into your chosen family. And that's who you surround yourself with.
Correct. And sometimes your village is toxic. The one you were born into.
There's that.
So, I mean, I had a village, but it was rough with that village.
Right. I mean, good for you for recognizing that. You know, that's hard to think to, you know, admit. Yeah. I've had to do that too. It's
Well,
hey, but I have this lady, so.
I know. Okay, so you're grappling with all of this. You're dealing with a lot. And then what happens?
And then, you know, like through all that darkness, like and it was darkness, like there wasn't a lot of sunlight, but there was like this little specks of clarity that when I was finding myself and opening my mind to listening to myself, and it led me to, you know, realizing, you know, coming out as bi, of course, to my to my then husband.
What was his reaction?
He didn't care.
Oh, no.
He was like, that's fine.
Because bi, yeah. When you say bi, sometimes it's like, I mean, that's fine.
It progressed to I'm a lesbian and I'm going to go visit my girlfriend.
Oh,
I'll give you a ride. Oh. So that was a really interesting, strange response. I mean, when I was first with a woman for the first time, it was like the most magical, amazing thing that I could ever imagine in my whole entire life that would ever feeling would ever exist like that in the world. But he just said, okay, you're with this person. Well, that's okay. Like, no big deal. So that was like not expected.
So you guys had an open relationship.
I mean, he's pretty traditional.
Yeah, you were married. Do you feel like he didn't take it serious? Did he not take it seriously because it's a woman?
I think he loved her enough to say, if you want to go and do it, this is what's making you happy. Because of a couple of years struggle.
Yeah, maybe about the, you know, the depression, and he was just scared.
He didn't want to lose her. So he's just
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I went all the way the wrong way. This is an assumption
because
he
wouldn't speak it. You know, he wouldn't tell it, his feelings to anyone. But
yeah, he had a hard time.
That's what my assumption is.
Right. He had been on this journey with you and had seen you struggle and was probably struggling alongside you.
Yeah. And I think he still is. And I think he was just at that point desperate to keep me alive, to see me, you know, smile or something. Yeah. So
you found something and he said, okay.
Yeah. There was no yelling. There was no anger. There wasn't any feeling. There was just acceptance.
Wow.
I don't know because I mean, it's complicated. Yeah. I was not expecting that.
Yeah. Well, it's always complicated. This is always complicated.
Right. It is.
You know, and you're adding a marriage and two kids to the mix. So it's a little complicated.
Yeah.
You know what, E?
Yeah.
You know, with Father's Day coming up, I've been thinking a lot about my dad lately. He passed a few years ago, and he used to tell the best stories, for real. He had a lot of stories. Like, he never stopped telling stories. Like, from getting his teeth ripped out of his mouth by an army doc in Vietnam. That was a crazy story. He was attacked by a shark. That was a crazy story. He was shipwrecked alone. That was a crazy story.
Wow.
No, really? Yeah. He could have written a book with all of his adventures, but he never got the chance. And that's why I think everyone should give their loved ones the gift of StoryWorth.
I love this idea. StoryWorth is an online service that helps you and your loved ones connect through sharing stories and memories and preserves them for years to come. I've been thinking about it for my mom.
See, here's how it works. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question of your choice from a really big pool of possible options. And each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought of, like, what was the scariest thing you ever did? Or have you ever feared for your life? Like, my dad could answer to all those.
I think I would really enjoy reading stories from my mom. Mm. She's always coming up with random stories, honey. And then she's gotten into this thing where she wants to document. She wants me and my sister to document like her whole life and know every detail. So this is going to be great. StoryWorth compiles all those questions and stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book. The whole family can share for generations. Oh my gosh, I would love to be able to share a book like this with my son. Absolutely.
I know, it's really cool. It's really cool. So guys, give all the loved ones in your life a meaningful gift you can both cherish for years to come. StoryWorth. Right now, for a limited time, you can save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/OCT. That's StoryWorth.com/OCT to save $10 on your first purchase.
StoryWorth.com/OCT. Do it today.
Do it. Do it. Get those memories.
So then you were able to start dating, and since he was fine with it, we're able to move on. And is that when you decided to, you know, what led you to whatever app it is? I don't want to say names. I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
We could say Tinder.
Tinder.
I mean, they could come here and sponsor the podcast. I got no problems with that. Come on, Tinder. You know, come sponsor us.
Tinder.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from a small town. I didn't leave the house. So, right. I mean, if it wasn't for that, I would not be here.
Two small kids. She's not going out clubbing. No. Or, you know,
right. Are there gay bars in Oshkosh?
Well, we'll call it gay friendly. Mm-hmm. We have the old lesbo bar, I guess.
Those are
where
fun.
You just, oh, it really is great. Like the local establishment dive bar, great food,
mm-hmm.
where like locals will come in for the food and the atmosphere isn't super gay until like 8:30, you know, and then it gets a little bit crazy. So
the pool tables start popping.
Right.
We got to keep going, Jamie.
We'll get sidetracked.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're dating women somewhat, and you go to Tinder, and that's when you two meet?
Right.
And what happens?
The conversation, and there's a lot of, probably talked a good 4 days before we decided to meet up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
We really met at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to tell them about your...
Well, I was just out of a terrible car accident, out of hospital.
Oh, no.
From 3 months. So I was probably in no way to be going out in the scene dating anybody, but I just wanted to meet somebody and kindle a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't expect anything to come from it.
Exactly.
When we met, I needed her just as much as she needed me at that time. And we didn't know it.
Right. Yeah.
We went to a place just up on the lake and we listened to a cover band, Dave Matthews cover band.
Mm-hmm. As you do.
It was great. You know, we really didn't get a lot of conversation in because it was loud, it was busy. And then this lady, right? You know,
some lady was like hijacking chair. Our date. So right, yeah. It was really funny.
She just pulls up a chair out. And she wants to chat. Yeah, talk just talking. To us.
So how did you feel that first date?
I mean, I've dated a lot of women and I've been in some big relationships.
That's what I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
You've been around the block, Marka.
Yeah, I've been around the block, got some experience. And so I mean, I love the conversations that I have with her. So I knew we were going to connect on at least an intellectual basis level or whatever. So she was funny to me and she was weird and quirky and I'm weird. So I knew we'd vibe.
Try not to have any expectations because this was like such a fantasy life for me. Like, this is a fantasy. This is not for me. This was not in my cards. Like, no way. So like, it's still like that. And we have this person laying in bed, beautiful woman next to me. And I was like, what?
When you say not in the cards, do you mean like happiness was not supposed to be in the cards?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that way too.
Like, right. Okay.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm supposed to be happy. Fuck out of here. What do you mean?
Yeah. Like, this is not real life. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Wow. So you're like, you go into full on dating.
Unfortunately, it was like a really bad time. You came for your mom who was dying.
Right.
Oh, no.
I was doing caretaker duties for her and myself getting back into living after accident. And then mom passed like 3 months after that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So thank you. But mom got to meet Jill and mom really loved Jill and she felt comfortable and safe. You know, we grieve for the loss of mom, but the connection of who my mom could have been for us and our support system going forward.
Well,
she's
there.
My mom was such a support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that.
She's there. She's totally. Looming over, you know, in love, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
Because I grew up in a very supportive household with my mom and my dad.
It was refreshing to walk in their door.
Mm.
It felt nice.
Yeah. So you guys start dating. Mom accepts you, Jill. And then how about what's happening at your home, Jill?
Tracy's home with the kids and I'm just trying to stay alive.
Ugh. Yeah. Right.
I'm just trying to stay alive. Like it was, when you're in survival mode all the time, you just don't like, you know, get to like that different part of the pyramid where you can have fulfilling activities or, you know, self-actualization or anything like that. So he's just, you know, letting me go. And I have this immense guilt. And it's like paralyzing, crippling guilt, like of the shoulds of society and the world. My dad telling me all this, you know, as a kid, everything you learn in your whole life, you make a promise and you keep it.
Mm.
You know, you promised him that you would be there forever. And you are a pathetic person that doesn't deserve to take another breath. That's what my brain told me.
Right. That's
but I
terrible.
Knew that wasn't true. So, you know, so I kept going in that direction of. I knew I needed to go.
Yeah, right. So take us through it. Take us through what transpires and how you wound up where you are today.
I start getting her out of the house for one, because as a housewife and stay-at-home mom, she didn't do anything for herself. So let's start going on dates. Let's go to do things. Let's do anything we want. Stay hotels, stay at our place, whatever. Being invited to spend the night at their house, I was like, you know, in their bed. I'm like, that's just weird. You know, I'm going to sleep in the basement. Okay, you know, like, just.
You were staying married to Tracy throughout all of this.
The start, they filed the paperwork.
Yeah, we're divorced now, but. Yeah,
a couple months after we started dating.
So how do you get to where you are now?
We did the whole, we wanted to get our own apartment.
Yeah, we had our own place for about a year.
And we did that. And then we're like doing well. His schedule was a little bit, he works all summer and he doesn't really have an end time every day. So we had the kids, it would be April through November. Mm-hmm. And then he would do the winter month more full time. And we would take him on the weekends. But as much as we love time alone, Jill always wanted to see the kids.
Mm-hmm. You know how it is.
Too hard to be away.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to be away from.
Yeah. It was really.
We always kind of felt comfortable around each other as one unit. So we're like, well, let's just live with Tracy and make this work for the kids. We can gain money, be able to purchase a bigger home down the road if we want to do this all together or try to separate the household again. But right now, it works for us.
So you were separate for a while. You got your own apartment, yeah. The two of you, and he stayed in the house,
yes,
with the kids, right. But you did kind of like joint custody.
Yes.
Back right. And forth. Mm-hmm. And then you just decided, this is silly. I miss the kids. I want to be there. So we're moving back into the house that you had shared with him. Right, Jill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually, we lived in a different city, but we sold our house when I first, I lived just over an hour away from Oshkosh. With Tracy, we owned a home together while we were married. So that's like where we spend most of our time. And then once I actually met Marco, we all decided just to move to Oshkosh, and he was willing to sell the property. Oshkosh. We split everything and he came here and bought another house. I mean, how accommodating.
You're right.
Yeah.
To the situation.
Like, my girlfriend lives in Oshkosh. Well, I'll move there.
Yeah, let's move.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know what? I think when you can make your life and your family work, for you, that's the most important thing. And I think your story is making me realize that when adults are committed to loving each other as relationships change and redefine themselves, you get to be there for the kids. And how great is it to be able to have three adults, you know, more than one adult mind, I got to say.
Right.
Helping figure things out. Mm. That's amazing.
Love and respect and kindness and acceptance.
That's what it's about. You know. That's what it's about. So yeah, let's talk about how did the whole like introducing Marco to the kids go and take us through that.
She'd be at home, one with the kids, he'd be at work, and I'd come by, I'd drive over and I'd hang out with the kids and her. The kids were 2 and 4 at the time when we first introduced. So they were young enough to just not kind of be embrace like, who it. Are you?
Yeah. Right.
You know. And I was fun and I'm a kid, big kid myself, so we had a lot of good times. So they're really close to me, which I don't have to fight over stepmom stigmas, I guess.
That's great. And now you're all in the same house together, right. Co-parenting together, and it's working.
It is.
And of course it's difficult. I mean, like, obviously I have like these relationship issues with my ex-husband, like anybody would, mm-hmm. but you know, I mean, at the end of the day, those things are like really trivial, the big spectrum of, you know, I intentionally created two humans. I don't intend to ever check out on them.
Right.
And I do the best I can to keep showing up and try my best. That's all we can do.
Right. How do you divide childcare responsibilities or chores? Like, can somebody now not have to, instead of sharing chores, can someone just like be on permanent garbage duty, or how does that, how do you?
That'd be too simplistic. We would like it to be much more complicated to make me angry.
Like a little dry erase board. So you have this board of shame in the kitchen, you know, and I put my name on everything that I do. And
yeah, Marco finally decided she was going to help me do the housework instead of letting me complain about it, which was great for the first couple of years, but.
There you go. It's always a struggle.
It's normal.
My wife and I don't, neither one of us like to, I like things clean. I just don't want to be the one to make that happen.
Exactly.
So we have decided just to invest in, we get help. We just need help because otherwise I'm going to be mad. She's going to be mad.
Exactly.
And for the price of a couple of, you know, DoorDash dinners,
mm-hmm.
we can get some help, keep some peace.
All right. Sure.
So I have to ask my last question I have for you guys. Is Tracy dating? Does Tracy have a love life?
That's a great question.
Am I allowed Jill won't to ask allow that? It. No, no. No, he does not. He doesn't have a love life. He says to us that he will never pursue dating anyone at this time.
I mean,
he's a very independent guy, very to himself. Mm-hmm. He loves his job and his kids.
Never is a strong word.
He's not that social.
Can I ask the big question? Is he still in love with you?
We don't know.
I mean, he's not really good at sharing his feelings. Right. I have no idea. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm so happy for you guys that you are living the life that you crafted intentionally.
And it's working.
And finding happiness.
It's a really important story. And before we say goodbye, please share with us any of your resources that you know of for suicide prevention, because we don't want anybody out there to lose their lives.
Absolutely.
Well, I would definitely contact your local crisis center in your county. Would be more likely to answer the phone. I've had contacted the National Suicide Hotline many times, and the wait times are 30 minutes or more, many occasions. So try to reach out to your local county. I also, as a person suffering with postpartum mood disorder, had reached out to Postpartum Support International, a great organization, to find resources for any person in the perinatal period.
Okay. That's good to know. And we will put the resources we can find into the notes for this episode. So if you are someone at home struggling, check out the notes and try some of the resources we have there. And know there's hope, and know that everything's going to be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it is not the end.
Exactly.
That's my favorite quote. I mean, our listeners know that I say that all the time and are probably tired of me saying
No, never going to get tired of hearing
Burn it in the brains.
It needs to be said.
It's my favorite quote. But this has been really, really wonderful. And I'm sure I speak for E and I both when we say we are so honored that you reached out and that you were so open and honest for this conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow. Don't you love them?
They were amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a lot to go through. Sometimes with these interviews, because y'all know I'm new, they're heavy and I learn things that I'm happy to learn, but also that make me so sad that our community is still going through.
We go through some stuff, but then there's also, you know, some good things that we take with us. And we got a video from Tracy, Jill's ex-husband. He sent it in, and it's going to be going up on the social this week.
Ooh.
So make sure you guys are all following us on all our social channels, because his video is going up and he talks about, like, basically they're like all love each other. You know, like, it's just all love, which is really sweet.
That's beautiful. And the fact that they work it out with this husband person well enough to,
husband,
you know what?
Person.
I'm trying to do gender
non-gender. I know.
Things. But it makes
person.
Me husband person, wife person, because like, I'm a wife person.
Okay.
But I don't identify as a female wife person. Like, it gets complicated.
It's complicated.
That's
why we have a podcast about this, shiznit. But also, Jill talked about some pretty heavy stuff. And we have put the resources that Jill mentioned into the notes for this episode. So if you are struggling, check the notes out. And we're sending all the love and, you know, get the help you need, because everybody wants everybody to stay healthy and alive and well.
Yeah.
We have to thank our newest Patreon member. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you so much for joining our Patreon community. And if you would like to help us make content for LGBTQ families, you also can join our Patreon community and do just that.
And you should, because you get bonus content. Mm-hmm. And it's a great little community that is growing by leaps and bounds.
By leaps and bounds, especially this Patreon community. You guys are stepping up. But if you want to join our Patreon community, which you really should, because this podcast needs to keep on going, head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join. Also, if you want to get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family, you can get that at all major retailers. You can also get the audiobook, which Robin and I read to you. And if you get it, don't be afraid to rate and review it on Amazon or Goodreads. And I think we need to let all these fine people go, because we have been talking your ears off.
Jamie, where can they find us on the social?
It's really simple. It's Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We are If These Overs Could Talk, the TikTok. We are If These Overs Could Talk on YouTube. And once again, you can support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. That's where you're going to get that bonus content. We have to say a huge thank you to Storyworth, our sponsor.
Yeah.
And a huge thank you to all of you Patreons who are helping us make this show. We really thank you.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to get that Storyworth from my mom real soon.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Eggs.
Eggs.
Ovaries. Out.
Eggs, ovaries, out. Fried eggs. Why do I want to say fried eggs, ovaries? Okay, bye.
I really don't know. Bye. I really don't know. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.